Turn on your Bibles if you've got them on your phone, or if you have the Word of God, please open it to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel. We have a short message before we come to communion every month. And just a reminder that we're having communion twice in July. That's today and the last Sunday in July, but we won't have communion in August. And then we'll have it on the second week, in second Sunday in September. So a little bit of a change during the summer months. Communion today and the last Sunday in July. So I want you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel chapter 13. And we're starting to read from verses 24. So we'll read verses 24. And then the explanation in verses 36 to 43, and then the parable of the dragnet 47 to 52. So quite a lot of reading, but the actual message is quite short. So turn with me to God's Word, Matthew chapter 13 and verses 24, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And then the parable of the tares is explained in verses 36 to 43. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then the parable of the dragnet, verses 47 to 52. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth.' Jesus said to them, 'Have you understood all of these things?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he said to them, 'Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure, things new and old.'" Well, we're presently working through the five teaching blocks of Matthew's Gospel every month prior to our communion service at the moment. And last month, we began the third teaching block in Matthew, which is chapter 13, verses 1 to 52. And in this teaching block, Jesus taught solely in parables. way in that particular teaching block. And last month we discovered that a very simple definition of a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We also discovered that the parables are important because they teach deep spiritual truth. And we learned that a parable is designed to convey one basic point. Now, if we miss that main point, then we've missed the whole point of the parable. So we must get that one point. And last month, we looked at the parable of the sower, which taught us that Christian growth depends on the condition of the heart as it responds to the Word of God. So the one point last month was Christian growth depends upon the condition of the heart as it responds to God's Word. Now this month, we will hopefully understand the parable of the wheat and the tares and the parable of the dragnet. Now I've included the parable of the dragnet because it teaches the same truth as the parable of the wheat and the tares. So there's no point in repeating that in a couple of weeks' time. So the parable of the dragnet, the parable of wheat and tares teach one main point. And last month from the parable of the sower, we learned that if our hearts are right with God, then the words of God contained in the Bible should result in the growth of our Christian life. So if our hearts are not right with God, then the Word of God cannot produce growth in our Christian life. So the Bible is always great. The Bible is always truth. The Bible is always there for us to grow. But if our hearts are not right and our hearts don't respond to the Bible, then we don't grow. So therefore, our hearts are the most important thing when it comes to growth as a believer. Now, Jesus was out in the open, and he used the fields and also fish as a way to illustrate his teaching. And in the second parable, Jesus is still out in the countryside, and this time he's using a wheat field to illustrate his teaching. He also used fish in the case of the parable of the dragnet. So Jesus is out in the countryside and using these things to illustrate his teaching. Now, primarily, these two parables are a warning about judgment at the end of this age. Now, judgment is not a subject that is easy to teach about or easy to listen to. So it's hard for me to teach about judgment this morning, and it's hard for you to listen. And the reason for this is that when it comes, when judgment comes, God's judgment is final. Okay? Because that's what judgment is about. That is God's final decision. We do not get an opportunity to receive God's grace at the judgment. There are no second chances or opportunities for salvation when God's judgment comes upon our lives, which is why we have to respond now from our hearts, when God speaks into our hearts. Now, this teaching is very clear about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, 19 to 31. So I'm saying this, backing it up with the teaching of Jesus. There is only one opportunity to put your faith and trust in Jesus, to receive God's grace, and it's here and now. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 16, 19 to 31. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. So he was in a privileged position. He had everything he wanted. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, and now he was full of sores, and he laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So he was in a desperate situation. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. So he was in hell. He wanted mercy from God. And said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are in torment. And besides this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, that's the word of God, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither they will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So in other words, we have the word of God, we have the message today. Today is the day of salvation, and if you hear the word of God into your heart to repent and trust in Jesus, then this is your opportunity today. You may never get another opportunity, and one day the judgment will come. Always remember memorizing a Bible verse in hospital 30 years ago in Kobe. Watashitachi wa mina kami no sobaki no za ni tachio ni naru no desu. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So it does matter how we respond to this message today. So let us look first at the text of the parable about the wheat and the tares and the explanation that Jesus gives us. So we don't have to decide what this means. Jesus tells us what it means. A very simple message. First of all, verse 24, the context of the parable. The context is always important. The context of the parable is Jesus teaching what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, God has his own kingdom, and his entry requirements into that kingdom are very specific. Entry into God's kingdom is only through Jesus, as we discovered last week in the book of Acts. So we need to view this parable with the mindset that there are only two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And today we need to make sure that we're in the kingdom of God and not in Satan's grip and his kingdom. So there are two kingdoms, and today we need to make sure that we're in the right kingdom. Then we have the story of the parable told to us by Jesus, verses 24 to 30. Now the story is quite simple. Jesus said that a man sowed good seed in his field. However, while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, or another word for that is darnel. If you look it up on the internet, you'll see what these weeds are like. Now, darnel are weeds that look like wheat. So when they're growing up, they just look like wheat. And it's only actually when the wheat is near to the harvest that you notice that it's not true wheat. There's no wheat inside. It's just blank. It's empty. So when the wheat had grown up and produced the crop, the weeds also appeared next to the wheat. Now, at this time in history, it was a problem with some farmers who tried to commit acts of vengeance. So if you wanted to commit an act of vengeance against another farmer, then you sowed the darnel among his wheat. Okay, and by doing this, there was a law against it, so you could be prosecuted. Now, the servants were amazed to see so many weeds next to the wheat. Now, they couldn't understand it, as they had only sown the wheat. They didn't sow the darnel or the tares. So where did these weeds come from? Now, the owner of the field said that an enemy has done this. Now, the servants offered to go out and destroy the weeds, and the owner said, no, don't do that, because you might uproot the wheat at the same time. Then the wheat crop would be destroyed. So the owner instructed the servants to let the fake wheat continue to grow until the harvest time, and the owner said that at the harvest time, He would instruct the men to first gather up the weeds, put them in bundles and burn them, and after that to gather up the wheat and put it into the barns. Now, I think the story is simple enough. Let us now view the explanation that Jesus gives us from this parable. So we don't have to even think about it. Jesus tells us exactly what this parable means. Firstly, we're told that Jesus gave the explanation just to his disciples after he'd sent the multitudes away. And this explanation was done in a house just for the disciples. And the explanation that Jesus gives us is very clear. We'll take each point separately. First of all, the person who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. In other words, that's Jesus. So Jesus only sows the good seed. And it is through the words of Jesus and belief in the words of Jesus that can provide entry into God's kingdom. So we need to be very clear about that, is that the person who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, that is Jesus Christ. And it is through the words of Jesus and belief in the words of Jesus that will provide you entry into God's kingdom. That's very important. Secondly, the field is the world. This is very important because some Bible commentators interpret the field as the church. The field is not the church. The field is the world. However, Jesus clearly talks about the field as being the world. And this is important when we look at our application in the moment. So the person who sows the seed is Jesus, and the field is the world. Now, the good seeds that grew into real wheat are the sons of the kingdom. In other words, they are the children of God. Okay? The children of God will always grow because the seed that's been planted is by Jesus Christ. And by believing in Jesus, we have entry into the kingdom and we can grow to be like Jesus. So the fourth thing we learn is that the tares or the darnel are the sons of the wicked one. In other words, these are the people who are opposed to God's kingdom. And they work knowingly or unknowingly for Satan's kingdom. So they're not working for God's kingdom, they're working for another kingdom. And the fifth thing we learn is that the enemy who sowed the tares or the darnel, the fake wheat, is the devil or Satan. So the devil or Satan is trying to sow the wrong seed. Okay? So anything that is opposed to the Bible, anything that's different from the Bible, is what the devil does. So all the false religions, all the religions in the world, all the cults and everything is that's what Satan is up to. And people follow these particular religions. And the sixth thing we learn is that the harvest is the end of the age. This is very important. This is the time when God's judgment comes upon every living person. Sometimes the Bible calls it the day of the Lord. So there will be a day in the future when everybody comes under God's judgment. So no one will escape God's judgment. And number seven, the reapers are the angels who are sent out by Jesus to gather in all his kingdom and to cast all other people into a furnace of fire where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So it's a real place called hell where people will suffer eternal punishment. So at the end of the age, at the end when God decides it's judgment time, then his angels will gather the people in. So we now have the parable and the explanation, but we conclude that we need also to read the parable of the dragnet. The truth contained in this parable is exactly the same as the truth that we get from the wheat and the tares. So I'm going to read that in the New Living Translation. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net was thrown out into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore and sat down and sorted out the good fish into crates, but they threw the bad ones away. That is why it will be, or that is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all these things? Yes, they said, we do. Then he added, every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old. So what is the application and the challenge before us? Well, as I said before, parables only have one main point. There are other points that point and direct their attention towards the one main point, but there's still only one main point. And the one main point of this parable is that there's going to be a judgment day in the future. It is at this judgment day that God will decide who is in his kingdom and who will be thrown into hell for all eternity. Therefore, we need to embrace God's grace now through Jesus, because there is no hope for God's grace on Judgment Day. There are no second chances. Hebrews 9, verses 27 says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, we only die once, but after this, the judgment. So no second chances. Now there is a song which, if I had a good voice, I'd love to sing for you, but I don't, and so I can't. So I'm going to read the words. It's a very old song, but it's full of heartfelt meaning. I hope that it will touch your heart this morning. These are the words, and the writer certainly wrote it with full meaning. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. But none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. I sighed for rest and happiness, I yearn for them, not thee. But while I passed my Saviour by, his love laid hold of me. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. E'en as I stopped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. The pleasures lost I sadly mourned, but never wept for thee, till grace this sightless eyes received, thy loveliness to see. But none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. If you haven't found Jesus yet, keep searching, keep seeking, because he's not very far away, and he's waiting for you to give, he's waiting for you to give your heart to him. So the challenge this morning before we take communion, have you given Jesus your heart? This may be your last chance. This may be your first chance, but there is no second chance when the judgment day comes. I urge you to give your heart to Jesus today. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that Jesus was very honest. Although he spoke in parables and he explained it to his disciples in the house, we know that we've had it explained here this morning, that there is only one chance, and that is through Jesus, and that chance is now. So Lord, as we come to the communion, we pray that if there are people here this morning that have yet to put their faith and trust in Jesus, that they might do that today that they might receive God's grace, that they might believe and put their faith and trust in him. So we ask, Lord, for your blessing as we continue now, as we celebrate this time of communion. In Jesus' name we pray.